hands told us about the need for us to, or how to operate in faith. Today, we are going to be looking at a subtopic of faith, which is faith and fear. Faith and fear. If I ask us about what the opposite of faith is, most of us will answer as unbelief. And by the grace of God, a time will come when we are going to be treating that particular subject. But another thing that closely stands in opposition to faith is fear. And so it is important for us to know and to be liberated from it. Hence, we are looking at faith and fear. Can the two coexist? And under what circumstance can they coexist? And which one should prevail? And what do we do when we have fear? These are some of the questions that I believe that God is going to help us to answer this morning. Our text, as usual, is taken from Hebrews chapter 11. That is the chapter of faith. And as we've been doing, I'll just read verses 1 to 10. Verse 1 to 10. And then, when we get home, we can read the rest. Because that is the book that has the names, some of the names of the great people of faith that God wants us to emulate. So I read. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good report. Through faith, we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that things which are seen were not made of things which do appear. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts. And by it, he being dead, yet speaketh. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found, because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called to go out into a place which he should after receive for an inheritance, obeyed, and he went out, not knowing whither he went. By faith, he sojourned in the land of promise, as in a strange country, dwelling in tabernacles with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he looked for a city which had foundation, whose builder and maker is God. The Lord will build your destiny. He will make your destiny. You see, man cannot make your destiny for you. Hard as he may try to change it, you will not succeed in Jesus' name. Abraham looked for that city that was built by God. And so, he lived in a holy fear because he was expecting God to take him to a place of promise. He will take you to his place of promise for you in Jesus' name. And of course, we know the definition of faith as it's contained in Hebrews 11 verse 1. And one of the things we can glean from it is that faith brings tangibility to our hope. It brings what? Tangibility. It brings substance to our hope. You know, when you hope, you cannot touch hope. No. But faith is the one that stands in the place of that hope that you can hold on to. Is that evidence? Is that becomes a substance that is tangible? Why we wait on God for the manifestation of that which is yet to be seen? And that is what we were told in the place where we have just read. He said, by it, the elders did what? They obtained a good report. In other words, they hope for a good report. They just hope for a good report. And now, with faith, holding on to their faith, what happened? That good report was manifested. Again, the Bible goes on to simplify it, and it says, he said, by faith we know that the things that we see now were not made of those things that appeared. In other words, things that we see now were not made of things that were in existence because of faith. So, in other words, let's say we have a brother. Like yesterday we were at a place. There was a brother who came to perform there. But let's say the brother says to us, I'm coming to perform. Okay? I'm not giving you the time. I'm going to arrive because there are so many things I have to do. But what I can say is this. As a promise that I'm going to be there, that I'm going to be unfailingly there, I want my wife to come and just stand in my place. She cannot perform. But as long as you see that my wife is there, it shows that, because I have to come and pick my wife. I have to come and take her home. As long as she's there, it means I'm going to come. Faith is exactly like that. It stands in the place of the promise of God. So that once you hold on to it, now, the way it works is this. You really desire that this brother comes to perform. You really desire that he shows up, right? And the wife is with you. But the wife says, okay. For whatever reason, somebody comes and says, look, we'll take this brother's wife. We want to take him away. We want to take her away. If we wander away, if we go away with her, if we are not able to make it on time, we just go and drop her at home. But you know that this brother will show up as long as the wife stays with you. Will you allow the person to take the wife away? I won't. That is the place of faith. Faith is that which you lose. Once you lose it, you lose the promise. Because as soon as this brother's wife is delivered to him back in his house, he has no reason to come and see you anymore. Has he? No. Because you are holding her in place of that brother to come. And as long as you hold on to your faith, the promise of God will appear in your life. In the mighty name of Jesus. So, because I've been trying to get us to understand what faith is like. Is that we hold on to until there is a performance of the promise of God. So if you let it go, the performance will not take place. What is the definition of fear? Now, this is my area. Praise the Lord. So, you are going to be full bottle on it. It's my area. It is a feeling state characterized by emotional, cognitive, what's cognitive? Thinking. Okay. Thinking and physical changes experienced in anticipation of danger, failure, or negative outcome that may be perceived as having a negative impact on the individual. In other words, an individual will be in fear if he thinks that the outcome is, that there's going to be danger, or that the outcome is not going to be favorable. And the thing, there are a few things that I want us to take note of, because I've used specific words there. The first thing is that it is a feeling state. It may not necessarily represent reality. It is what? A feeling state. I'm going to ask one question here. How many of us have felt happy for 1 week completely? You know, you start the start of, say, Monday through to Sunday. You are happy throughout that week. And there's no blip at all. There's no time when, you know, you feel down, or, you know, you are not as excited. You don't feel excited throughout, say, for 1 week. How many of us have felt like that? Okay, that's for 1 week. What about for 3 days? 2 days? 1 day? Praise the Lord. You will really, really be grateful and be thankful to God if for one whole day you are as excited. You just wake up in the morning. You are not grumpy. You are not slow. You are not, you know, you just feel so happy and excited. And that is the way you are throughout the whole day. You will really, really be thanking God. What am I saying? Feelings have a way of changing. Feelings have a way of changing. That is why we cannot run our lives based on what? On feelings. Because in one day, you may be happy. If something that is exciting happens to you, that same, in fact, within an hour or two, if something bad happens to you or someone else, you may become sad for their sake. Eh? And then the next minute, you know, in another hour, if something, you know, that is not so, that irritates you happens, you become angry. And then the next moment, if something, you know, the feelings will keep changing. Will keep changing. That is why every child of God must have a goal. Your feelings will change, but your goals will not change. It does not matter how you are feeling. So that's why fear is what? It's a feeling state. It does not necessarily represent the reality around you. You need to know that. And there are things we invest into it. We invest our emotion, because it's an emotional state. You know what the Bible says? It says, for example, it says, the lazy man says, there is a lion by the door. In other words, the motion of the lazy man will create danger, will create something that will make him afraid. And I'm telling you, I keep telling people, if he looks hard enough, indeed, will he find a lion? He will find a lion. Oh, yes. Once he starts to build it up, that it's not possible, I can't do it, it's not possible, I can't do it. Indeed, it will not be possible. So, a lot of emotion is invested into it. Remember, I also said, cognitive, there's a thinking part of it. Because the Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, so he is. When you think there's danger, when you think that you cannot make it, God helps you to make it. As long as you think that you cannot make it, it's almost going to be near impossible for you to make it. And I've been saying it, that God is wiser than science. Because one modality of psychotherapeutic treatment we're engaging is called CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy. In other words, change somebody's thinking, his behavior will change. That's the simple message. And the Bible is wiser than that. It's known it long, long ago. He said, change somebody's thinking, and what? His behavior will change. Praise the Lord. And I also say it's a physical experience too. Do you know what it is like to be fearful? When you are in fear, what happens? Let's go to Joshua chapter 5, verse 1. Joshua 5, verse 1. Because it's not just an emotional thing, it's not just a thinking thing, it's also a physical thing. Joshua 5, verse 1. What does it say? What happened to their heart? It melted. What does it mean for the heart to melt? There was no strength, no emotional strength. They were drained of hope. They were drained of confidence. They were drained of, you know, of all that it stood for. All their victories of the past, they forgot. Fear does what? It melts hearts. It's a different melting from the kind of melting of love. Praise the Lord. But this is a melting that leaves you despondent, that leaves you hopeless. That is why we cannot afford to live in fear. You will not live in fear in Jesus' name. Now, let's look at spiritual fear. It's a state of feeling, again, that an undesirable outcome will occur. As a result, the fearful may be inhibited. They will not be able to do what they are supposed to do. They may even aggress. In other words, they may become violent or avoid the feared situation. Look at the book of Luke, chapter 21, verse 26. Luke 21:26. Quickly, please. I can see our time is gone. Luke 21:26. And somebody to quickly open to 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10. Luke 21:26. In those days, we used to compete on who could open the Bible the fastest. Have we forgotten that? Luke 21:26. People will be what? Will be terrified. People will be terrified at what they see. Let me read from King James Version. It says, men's hearts failing them for fear. Men's hearts will do what? Will fail them. Hearts can fail. Recently, one of the past governors and a minister in the government of Nigeria was traveling in a car. Armed robbers stopped him. People who are armed with assault rifles, they stopped him because they didn't realize that he was the one traveling in that car. You know the story. And as soon as they realized, you know what they did to him? They said, because you are a powerful man, we are going to take your phone so you won't call the police. So they took his phone. And they took his wallet, some money they got from his wallet. But they said, for your life, we are not going to touch you. What happened to the man? He died before he got to hospital. What killed him? What did the Bible say? For fear, men's heart will fail. His heart failed. Fear can cause heart failure. Instant heart failure. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. 2 Corinthians 7 verse 10. He walketh death. When you have godly fear, what happens? It leads you to salvation. That is the kind of fear that God expects that we have. Remember in Psalm 1 verse 1, the Bible talks about the scornful. They are not. You see, the scornful are the one who makes the word of God means nothing to them. But godly sorrow leads to what? Repentance. And look at the second part. Not to be repented of. In other words, once you have repented, you stay along the course. You don't go back again. You don't repent of your repentance. Huh? Do you like that? You don't repent of your repentance. If you say, look, I've given up this, you don't repent of it and go back and start doing it again. Not all under any disguise. Praise the Lord. And you know what? God hates fear because only he deserves to be feared by abstaining from evil. At best, fear acts as an emotion that serves as a barometer for the state of your heart, enabling you to make a change. That is the only useful thing about it. As soon as you start to live in fear, know that there is something wrong with that state, that there is a need for you to make what? A change. Praise the Lord. What are the causes of fear? I'm going to quickly run through it. Lack of knowledge is a major cause of fear. Am I right or wrong? You will find out that if somebody asks you to do something, if you don't have a clue, you'll be fearful. Or if somebody says you are going to do this, if you've never done it before, you don't know how you are going to perform, what's going to happen, you are going to be fearful. Lack of knowledge makes one very fearful. That is why the Bible often tells us about the devil. It says your adversary, the devil, he's like this. This is the way he acts. So that you can have knowledge. Not to be afraid of him, but you know how to deal with him. Praise the Lord. This lack of knowledge may be as a result of our own lack of awareness of our own capabilities or what our God can do. God may equip you with certain things. If you are not aware of it, you will live in fear. It's like water everywhere, but none to drink. You have all the resources, you have all the capabilities, but you are not able to make use of them. God will enlighten us today in Jesus' name. And of course, unbelief is another reason why we'll be fearful. Especially when we do not think that the word of God holds adequate provision for that situation we are going through. The day you start to believe and know that the word of God holds adequate provision for that thing you are looking for the situation you are in, for your circumstance, then you are not going to be fearful. You know what? I'm not talking about holding on to the word of God and giving God the ultimatum. You know what some of us do is this. You see, I'm going to try God for 3 months. If it doesn't work, it's not going to work for you. If he's your all in all and your life depends on it, you will see God will show up. But if you use him, say, if I try him for 3 months and it doesn't work, some people say, look, I've given him a chance for 3 months. I've been, as long, you see, God knows our hearts. Option D. He will let you go to your option E. Praise the Lord. So, unbelief. The other thing that causes fear is past experiences of defeat and failure, hurt and betrayal. It causes a lot of fear. My brother and I, we've been talking about this, you know, for a while now. It's one of those things that can cause us to fear a lot. If people have treated you so badly when you meant the best, you see people, you are actually afraid. If you've been somewhere before, you've tried many times and you fail, and people ask you to try, you say, no, I'm not going to go this time around. It may be an exam. You say, no, I will postpone it. Because you don't want people to say, he's done it so many times. I will say to you this morning, as you go in the trust of the Lord will appear for your sake in Jesus' name. Paul, you know, Paul said, he said, one thing I do, forgetting those things that are in the past and reaching forward to those things that are in the front. Those things that are before me, we need to forget sometimes. Otherwise, it will inhibit us. In many areas of our lives, it will inhibit us, even in our homes. It will inhibit us. Do you know that some men, their wives don't even know how much they earn? Why? Because of fear. They've had terrible, terrible stories. Some women cannot even keep joint account with their husbands. They've had terrible, terrible stories of betrayal. Some people, if they are going to maybe do something for their family, or they will not let their wives know, or if they want to do something for their wives, the family must not know. Why? For fear. Because they know that, I mean, they think that there will be confusion. I tell people, if I tell you that this is what I want to do, and God has led me to do it, be sure I'm going to do it. Praise the Lord. We must not allow fear to inhibit you. We must not allow fear to limit you. Praise the Lord. Sometimes fear can be as a result of an individual's disposition. You just notice that that is the way they are. But let me tell you something. God can break that yoke today in Jesus' name. It is because, or it may be because they have learned it from other people. Another source of fear is when you have hatred, or your love is not perfect. What does the Bible say? It said, perfect love drives away what? Fear. When your mind is not clean towards somebody, each time you stand before them, you'll be going to be fearful. But when your mind is pure towards them, you know, the Yorubas call it this, apology to those of us, I will try to interpret it. You know, in other words, you are clean. You have done all that you need to do. And it's obvious that you've done all that you need to do. And then you cannot be fearful. Perfect love cast out fear. If you want to be rid of fear, live in love. That's 1 John 4:18. Fear can be a form of attack. It's not attach, sorry. A form of attack intended to create doubt in you. Fear is one of the strongest weapons of the enemy. Please, somebody quickly open to Nehemiah chapter 6, read 5 to 9. Because we don't understand that it's a strategy of the enemy. Nehemiah 6, 5 to 9 is a strategy that the enemy, he has always used it and he's still using it. So you need to be aware of it. When you are fearful, encourage yourself in the word of the Lord. Whose report will you believe? Is somebody there? How many times? The fifth time. Yes? You and the Jews, you plan to do what? To rebel. Yes? For they all were trying to do what? To make us afraid. So that our hands will be weakened. You see, Nehemiah knew. He knew what the enemy wanted to do. How many times? The fifth time, he sent a letter to him. He said, come, let's discuss. Sometimes when the enemy asks you to come and let's discuss, don't go and discuss with him. Because you know where you are going. He wanted to strike fear. He knew they were in captivity. Nehemiah had spoken to the king. In fact, the king gave him permission to come and build the wall. And now, you know what he said? He said, you want to be the king of the Jews. Hence, you are rebuilding the wall of Jerusalem so that he can cause confusion between him and the king. So that he wanted to strike fear in their heart. It's an attack of the devil. How many times have I been attacked in the church? When people will accuse me, they say, oh, he wanted to carry the church away. We opposed him. That's why. It's a lie. It's a lie of the enemy. Oh, they say, look, it's because he wants the church for himself. That's why he did this. After some, initially I was defending myself. As soon as I realized, I remember this story, I stopped defending myself. And I will simply do what I have to do. Because it's fear. Because they want you to come. You start defending yourself. You start defending yourself. What you are supposed to be doing, you won't do it. He said, to weaken your hand. Your hand will not be weakened in Jesus' name. Whatever God has called you to do, you will achieve it in Jesus' name. It's a form of attack. It will divert your attention from what you are supposed to be doing. Nehemiah quickly realized it. And he said, hang on. I have no business with you. You will have no business with the enemy in Jesus' name. The other cause of fear is disobedience and guilt. It leads to avoidance of the presence of God and subsequent loss of dominion and power. Look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 8 to 10. What happened? When God came in the cool of the day to fellowship with his creation, what happened? They were hiding. And God said, Adam, where are you? He said, Lord God, we cannot face you. We are hiding away from you. He said, why? He said, because we are afraid. We have done what we are not supposed to do. Disobedience makes you live in fear. And that's why you will not be able to approach the throne of grace boldly. Each time you have to repent. You have to repent. You have to repent before you go. Who are the people who repent and, you know, and stand, repent and stand? Who are they? They are toddlers. Just learning to walk. That will not be your story. How long are we going to be toddlers for? Even toddlers grow out of it. I remember when Joshua first came here. He will attempt to walk to the front. He will fall down. This morning we were all admiring him. He has stopped falling. He walks straight now. He doesn't fall anymore. Some of us have been rising and falling for 10 years. Tell your neighbor, say, grow out of it. Say, grow out of it. You will grow out of it in Jesus' name. Dangers of ungodly fear. I will just quickly list this one. It works against faith, both at spiritual and physical level. Long-term fear and worry may have effect on your immunity. Do you know that? Doctors, we know that people who are constantly stressed, their cortisol level is high. Because of high cortisol level, because it's one of the hormones that is produced in battle. You know how it helps with healing and whatever and whatever. But if perpetually your cortisol level is high, it impairs your immune level, your immune response, including white blood cells. And that is why you notice that when you are under stress, that is when you have upper respiratory tract infection. You are prone to all kinds of infections. So if you live your life constantly in fear, what's going to happen to you? Exactly. So it's not just your spiritual life. Even your physical life is affected. This has been well documented. So it exhausts you, and you run the risk of premature aging and even death. Have you seen people who are 40 years old and they are looking 60? I've seen a lot. I mean, by reason of the kind of job I do, people who have used their lives, you know, particularly, have you seen people who live in crime, who are always running? They have to be ahead of the police. You see them, they are aging. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. You know, it leads to lack of clarity of thought and a less purposeful life. In Proverbs 4:23, he said, guide your heart diligently, because out of it comes the issues of life. If you want to live a purposeful life, you cannot live in fear. Also, fear is a stumbling block to entering to heaven. This is very important. Look at Revelation chapter 21, verse 7 to 8. We are going to read that. But before we come back to it, I'll just read the other things here. Fear can spread like a plague. Just like unbelief, it sinks the hearts of its victims. Remember the children of Israel? It may become a self-fulfilling prophecy. Particularly when you say things that contains fear. Job said, all that he feared did what? Came upon him. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Somebody to open to Revelation 21, verse 7 to 8. Overcoming fear. The one that overcomes will inherit what? All things. Yes. Verse 8. The fearful and unbelieving. So the fearful and the unbelieving, they belong to what? To the same category. Yes. The fearful belongs to the group of the abominable. Something you must not touch. An abomination. Yes. Belongs to the group of murderers. Yes. Warmongers. Yes. Can you see the group where the fearful has been classified? So if you cannot speak boldly about Jesus and you are fearful, see where you are being classified. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. Okay. This is the bit we don't like to read anymore. They will have a part in what? In the lake of fire. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the Almighty God. That will not be your portion in Jesus' name. So how do we overcome fear? Keep on hearing the word of God. Thereby you build your faith. Not just hearing. Remember to speak it out. The words you hear, confess it. Don't keep it within. Keep confessing it. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. When you speak it, you are going to hear it again. Your spirit will hear it and be subdued. Your spirit will hear it and realign with the word of God. So keep hearing the word and speak it. Speak it out. Also, seek out faith-building experiences, fellowship, and use kingdom resources. Tapes, MP3, you know, CDs, DVDs, everything that will build your faith. Look for it. Play it in your car. That situation you are going through, find a sermon on it and listen to it. Let God, let the word of God build you up. Stand on the word until the result comes or until God tells you otherwise. As long as God has not changed his mind, you keep standing on the word until your result comes. The other thing that you need to do is to do what? Study people who are victorious. Go to Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 to 40. Read it. There are people who have lived victorious life in faith. Go and study them. And listen to and share testimonies. Share testimonies of what God has done in your life before. You will not live in fear in Jesus' name. Let your heart dwell on the victory of Jesus. Above all, let your heart do what? Dwell on the victory of Jesus. Because it is the story of your own victory too. If God has done it through Jesus, he has already done it for you. Remember, let your heart dwell on the victory of Jesus. Above all things. When it looks like you are weak, because Jesus has done it, he has done it for you. Also, be a worshiper. Be what? A worshiper. Make melody to the Lord in your heart. Don't let it depend on your situation and your circumstance. And lastly, step out and just do it. You hear that? Step out and do what? Just do it. Even if it means you are going to do it afraid, just do what? Just do it. That thing that God wants you to do, even if you are afraid, do what? Just do. Just go ahead and do it. That was what Gideon did. Gideon was very afraid. But what did he do? He stepped out and he did it. And many other people. Peter was fearful. But he stepped out and he walked on the waters until his fear overpowered him. Step out and do what? And just do it. Can we rise up and pray? The time is far spent. Let's speak to the Lord. You know those areas of your life where you are vulnerable, areas where you are fearful. Can you commit them to the Lord and rebuke fear in your life? Fear of failure, fear of what tomorrow will bring. Sometimes we parents, we fear how our children will turn out to be. Fear of what the outcome of that thing we want to do will be. Fear of how people will see us. Fear of people standing against us. Fear of what people have said against us. Fear of our own inabilities. Fear of, you know, all sort of fears that we have. Can you commit those things to the Lord this morning and ask God to drive away the spirit of fear from your life in the mighty name of Jesus? Because the Bible says, for he has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power, love, and of sound mind. Therefore, every fear, where in whatever form they are taking, Lord Jesus, we come against it in the life of your people today. that your people will live victorious in the mighty name of Jesus. We do not see the power of the enemy, but we see your unending love. We see your unending abilities. We see your grace. We see your power. We see your almightiness. Therefore, why should we be afraid when we know that God is on our side? Why should we be afraid when we know that our God can do all things? Because with you, nothing shall be impossible. Father, we glorify you this morning, because your people will no longer live in fear. We are true overcomers, and we are more than conquerors through Jesus Christ that strengthens us in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, King of Glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Amen.